that will sing some songs. Aspire for us to please our eyes. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you, Lord, for seeing us all safely here. I pray you, Lord, for safety on the roads as people travel roads that they're just not familiar with in the light of major closure there in the dual carriageway. But Father, I pray that you'd be one of our number this morning as we take time just away from everything else and devote it to you. They speak to us through the hymns and the Bible reading and the teaching and the preaching of your word and the fellowship. Please use it, Lord, to strengthen us and prepare us. And Lord, I know the old world could throw us off track quite easily, Lord. Please put us back on track this morning, if that's the case. Please bless our time in your presence, Lord. Please speak to our brothers and sisters across the world, and please deliver us our daily bread, whatever it might be. We love you and thank you, Father. Amen. 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 Let's begin with some of these good old hymns. We're going to begin with number 5. Good old, long-standing. It's thousands of years old. Number 5 in the Black Book. The Lord's My Shepherd. Amen. Side 247, which we do sing a little bit more. We might just catch up with that later. But 248, if you're able, stand with me as we sing, Now I Belong to Jesus. Amen.
Jesus, my This morning's reading is from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all the ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not chastisement of the Lord, he is the weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof, and fine gold. He is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honour. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes, keep sound the wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in the way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. The Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbour, go and come again, tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against the neighbour, see he dwells securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he hath done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the forward is an abomination to the Lord, but the secret is with the righteous. Cursed the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the inhabitants of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Amen.
Thank you, Norman. Some very good verses there. Appreciate the Bible reading this morning, Norman. Thank you very much. I just want to remind everybody about the little pink prayer sheet. We have on the prayer list that Frank is flying on Friday. Are you flying again tonight, Frank?
Yeah.
So pray for Frank as he heads home this evening. We're always happy to see him here and see what's happening over in London. Please also do pray for the Jackson family. Lost their last parent there at the start of the week. Funeral was on Thursday, and I would appreciate your prayers for them for their salvation at this time. Does anybody have anything else that they would like prayer for, that they would like details written down about? If you have, stick your hand up and shout it out. If you don't, and you still want prayer for stuff, just stick your hand up when it comes to private prayer requests. Does anybody have private prayer? One, two. Amen. Thank you very much. Does anybody have any thanks that they would like to make known? One.
Thank you for getting me looking on my side. I was prepping for nearly a week.
Please do remember that as well. Well, thank the Lord for having your wee boy home.
Yes.
Less than a week now.
I remember speaking to some of the children. Whenever they would come over and you'd be looking down at them like that, and I used to say to them whenever you'd hunker down, someday I'll be looking up at you. And in a lot of cases, it's true. It's just one of those things. It'd be worse if you never grew up, Frank, although your mum might not agree with that. But amen. Amen. We're glad to have you here. Good to see each one of us here. Please do pray for Pat and Steve, Christine, Mary Ann, John, not John McMahon, John McGowan, John McMahon. See, he even sits right in front of where John sits as well, just to make life doubly more interesting. Please do pray for all of these folks. Please do pray for what's going on in the world. The Lord knows things are moving, inevitably, towards what the Bible says. But if there's any way to put off that inevitability just a little bit longer, I'll take it. And please do pray for each other. Amen. Right, let's have a word of prayer. Let's close our eyes and bow. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you, Lord, that we can come before you, Lord, with thanks, and we can come before you, Lord, and praise you for all that you've done for us, but we can also come before you with our prayer requests and petitions, and we can just lay it all out like a shopping list. Not a list of demands, Lord, but a list of things that trouble us that really do need prayer, and Lord, that we're thankful for. And I do want to thank you, Lord, first of all, for bringing Frank safely over from mainland, and spent a day or two with his mum and dad, and of course seeing him here this morning. And I pray the Lord you'd see him safely back home again come the end of the day. For Norman and his sore back being sorted out, Lord, for the work around the church and the wee lick of paint that the hall got, I thank you for being able to do that too. For even in spite of the roadworks, Lord, for us all being here this morning, and I pray for safety on the roads, Lord, as folks take different routes to wherever it is that it is they're going. I pray as well for absent friends, Lord, for church family members that aren't here this morning. And I pray for your hand upon them, Lord, that you would help them whatever way that you can. And I pray as well for our private prayer requests. You know what they are and you know all the details. And I pray you please, Lord, that you would grant them according to your will. For our town, Lord, for our country, for countries around the world, I pray especially for America at this time, Father, as they slip towards, goodness, almost out-and-out socialism and communism. I pray, Lord, for those that are contending with wickedness, goodness, everywhere. And I pray you, Lord, for strength and wisdom as they do. And for ourselves as well, Lord. We do have to go through sometimes the meat grinder from time to time. And I pray you, Lord, please, that you would bear us up. And Lord, that you would forgive us, that whenever we get through these things, a lot of times we forget about you, Lord. And we never turn back and say thank you, like the lepers, the 9 lepers that never turned back. Thank you, Lord, for seeing us through all of the years until today. Thank you, Lord, for all the trials and the tests that have sharpened us up and made us who we are today. Please be the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Be our company in the pews this morning. Please, Lord, be our advisor and comforter, our strengthener, imparter of wisdom, our chastener, Lord. Please help us. Please, Lord, I pray you, hinder all those that hate you and yours, and please bless all those that love you and yours. Thank you for all of your many helps, the many promises from your word, and we ask all these things, Lord, and a special blessing upon Israel at this time. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord of your law. Amen. 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 We're in the big hymn book. Big hymn book. And we're going to sing 102. 102. That is, He Hideth My Soul. Let's make a joyful noise. Hymn number 102. Yeah. Testament where the Lord covered Moses by his hand as he passed him by. We're going to finish off this portion of the service with number 11 in the wee black book. Number 11, that is another old hymn, Mortal, Invisible God, Only Wise. And if you're able, join me on your feet as we praise the God who gave us some for our souls. Hymn number 11, Mortal, Invisible God, Only Wise. Things on a printout is so that you can confirm that every word that I said up here came from the Bible, and that is very important. We'll read about half of these, and I hope that you will understand where it is that we are coming from before very long. You know it's God. The first line, and we'll just read on line by line. And the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And they shall know that I am the Lord, and that I have not said in vain that I would do this evil unto them. Ezekiel 6:13, then shall ye know that I am the Lord, when their slain men shall be among their idols round about their altars, upon every high hill, in all the tops of the mountains, and under every green tree, and under every thick oak, the place where they did offer sweet savour to all their idols. So will I stretch out my hand upon them, and make the land desolate, yea, more desolate than the wilderness towards Diblath, in all their habitations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel 7:4, and mine eye shall not spare thee, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense thy ways upon thee, and thine abominations shall be in the midst of thee, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. I will recompense thee according to thy ways, and thine abominations that are in the midst of thee. And ye shall know I am the Lord that smiteth. The king shall mourn, and the prince shall be closed with desolation, and the hands of the people of the land shall be troubled. I will do unto them after their way, according to their deserts will I judge them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, for ye have not walked in my statutes, neither executed my judgments, but have done after the manners of the heathens that are round about you. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I scatter them among the nations and disperse them in the countries, talking about the children of Israel. But I will leave a few men of them from the sword, from the famine, and from the pestilence, that they may declare all their abominations among the heathen whither they come, and they shall know that I am the Lord. And mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel 13:21, there writes smack dab in the middle, your kerchiefs also will I tear, and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall no more be, and they shall be no more in your hand to be hunted, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Therefore, ye shall see no more vanity nor divine divinations, for I will deliver the people out of your hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them, and hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. I'm going to stop there, but there's another 7 or 8 at the end of that, to the end of that page. But there are 64 instances in the book of Ezekiel alone that say, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we will begin. Well, if you would, brother, would you pray first, please?
Yes, Father, thank you this day, Lord. Thank you for the massive blessing you took this day. We know it, offer, and we love you. Thank you for our strength, Lord, and every good thing you took to us, Lord. Yes, Lord, you precious died in prophecy from us, Lord. Oh, that men would come to your Son, Lord, for salvation, Lord. That we will save them, mighty and powerful, Lord. See the people fighting in the city, Lord, throughout this land, throughout this world, Lord, that they may be up to fight Christianity, both the message of love and of sacrifice upon the cross, Lord, for their souls, Lord. Lord, pray for our land, Lord, see so mighty and powerful, Lord. We also pray for the people in churches, Lord, to convict those that are lost, Lord, bring back those that are backslidden, Lord, and see so mighty and powerful, Lord. And may they greatly be praised, and may we worship like good and holy name, Lord, and we will keep us, Lord. May the blessing be felt in this church today, Lord, and also throughout the churches of PC and PC, Christ, 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 Christ And Lord, we've had an absolute problem. We thank you for having fight and joining us to this group at the moment. Have mighty power for you. And Mr. Antonis, my Lord, we've called wherever it is, come from any trouble, Lord, to a ring of fire about it, keep from being hard, Lord, or injured, or anything bad thing that may happen, Lord, and bring about this there as well, Lord. But, see if Stephen Connell, John, Lord, mighty power for you for the needs of nations, well, Lord. We've Catherine and John, Lord, keep them sitting, my Lord, and Mr. Antonis, my Lord. And we've Stephen Pat, Lord, Mr. Antonin, Steve, we'll give strength, Lord, heal mighty parts, Lord, and bring the people out to church as well, Lord. We'll also go to John Bradford, help him mighty parts, Mr. Antonin as well, Lord. We have Mark, let's come to live the gospel, Lord, give an answer for the voice of our Lord, touch our hearts, and give us a message, Lord, applicable to our lives and our soul, Lord. And we'll be good, Father, a great point here for Jesus Christ again.
Amen. Thank you, Will. It's not very often I do a sermon that is hop, skipping, and jumping through so much of a portion of God's Word, but I'm going to tell you the reason why. I have been reading through Ezekiel after a challenge from Will about a year and a half ago, maybe, and we've been having the occasional message from it, and then I was reading through it with my wife, and I thought, hold on a second, I kept thinking that I had lost my place because I would keep saying, I kept saying, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And I thought, I read that. I'm almost certain I read that yesterday, and I would go back a chapter. And then I did what all modern people do when they see that, and they type it into their Bible program on their phone. And just as a matter of interest, how many times does I am the Lord appear in the book of Ezekiel? 64 times. 64 times, I thought, that has to be, there is a message, there is a reason for that appearing so many times in the Word of God. Now, we only read maybe two dozen verses of Scripture from the book of Ezekiel, and I hope that you saw as you read that there were many different things that the Lord was doing for the children of Israel, to the children of Israel, and for their enemies and the people around about them, so that the children of Israel would know that God is the Lord, and also their enemies would know that God is their Lord. Some occasions were fulfilled prophecy about the Lord would have said, do you know what? I'm going to do this to this people so that on down the line they will know that I am the Lord. I am going to, as he said in one point, I am going to gather all the children of Israel together again. Again, the God that scattered them, I'll gather them together, and you will know that I am the Lord. He was going to beat them, spank their behinds for their idolatry. One of the reasons for Ezekiel and Daniel and even Jeremiah and Isaiah is the gradual decline over a period of many decades of the standards of the children of Israel, of their closeness with God. And he warned them for decades this is going to happen. And of course, whenever something doesn't happen straight away, or people are not spanked straight away, people think, oh, that's fine, I got away with it once, I'll most certainly get away with it again, and they'll keep getting away with it until it comes to the point where it's just normal to do that. And things have gotten so bad that they had abandoned God altogether. They were sacrificing the heathens. They, even the teachers, the guys standing in the pulpits, they weren't giving them the full story. We have a warning about that in the last days. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it talks about there being traitors that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, the saving power that there is in the Scriptures. So the Lord said, I'm going to defeat you at every turn. I'm going to confound all of these false gods that you put your faith in at every turn, whether it's your lifestyle, whether it's your resources, your fields, your flocks, whether it's your manpower, whether it's the great armies that you have, everything that you put your faith in, instead of putting it in me, I'm going to do exactly to you what I did to the Egyptians hundreds of years previously. And through it all, whether it's to your detriment, your punishment, it's chastening, or whether it's to lift you up, you will know through it that I am the Lord your God. Just to show them that the God of the Bible is greater than all of the little g gods that men put their faith in. I used to believe that I would be saved if I learned the martial art, and I did. I studied two in my life. I studied karate and jiu-jitsu. And I tell you what, it didn't stop a little bug called sepsis nearly killing me. There's no way you can karate your way out of a sepsis bug. Sometimes it doesn't take a world-shattering disaster to shake people's faith. Sometimes it's just a word. Sometimes it's a tiny little thing. Now, I know that most churches in the world today, if you go in and you sit in them, you will not get a message like this. You will get a message that God loves you. And no matter what you do in your life, God's like the grandfather with a big long white beard and a big tummy, big Santa Claus. And you can sit on his knee and put your arm around him. And no matter what you've done, you won't get a piece of coal, because that's what we've been taught our whole life. But you need to know that there is going to come a time in all of our lives that we will bow the knee and we will admit that the Lord is God. Please remember that we are living in the times that are mentioned in the Bible. We're not living in the Old Testament days, and we're not living in the days when Christ walked across this world. We're living in the end times that are mentioned in the Bible. And the same God that visited judgment and punishment, chastening upon those that hated him and those that rebelled against him, is still the same God that sent his Son to the cross to give us life for our sins. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says there is no shadow of turning or variableness with our God. It's the same God. But forby all these lovey-dovey sermons that people like to hear so that they go home and think, well, do you know what? For all my drinking, cursing, smoking, lying, cheating, drug-taking, murdering, fornicating things that I have done, I'm glad to hear God's a God of love. Because I don't have to worry about any judgment or any standards. But the Bible says that God is a judgmental God. He makes judgments, he has standards, and he is righteous. If there was ever a steamroller coming towards a people, it's mentioned in Ezekiel. I don't know if you've ever seen some of the movies where people get run over by a truck. And they lie flat and keep their hands by their sides and the truck goes over them. And maybe they get up and they have a tiny little, a little nick on their face where something hanging down from the truck just caught them. And they get up and dust themselves down and walk away. That is not going to happen to anyone on the face of this world that says no to God. It's not going to happen. And I'm telling you now, not because I'm saying, yay, we win, and I don't care about the rest of you. I'm telling you because you need to know. God is a God of judgment. And it is not a truck with a huge axle clearance that's coming towards us. It's a road-wide steamroller, and nothing will escape. Yes, it's coming slowly, and we have time to get off the road and admit that the steamroller is right. We're not going to stand in the way of it, and none of us are going to stand in the way of God's judgment. But my God is a righteous God. And the reason these things are in the Bible were to show us that God just doesn't give his children's enemies a hard time, but he also gives his rebellious children a hard time, a chastening. One of the reasons, and I pray that you may have caught it as you read on through that page, one of the things that would let people know that the Lord is God is the Sabbath day. That people would take a time and set it aside to worship him, to sing his praises, even to learn a little bit about him. That is a sign between God and the believer. And you will know that I am the Lord God. However, children of Israel stopped them in the day, and we were just having a bit of a discussion out the back there about why all the guys that are working on the roads have this such an odd time for working on the road between, what was it, 7, 8 o'clock last night and 2 p.m. today. It's so that they don't get in the way of everybody going to church. I mean, going out shopping and going to the sports centre and doing whatever it is they do. Up to the Crescent Bank, going to the DIY, or going to buy a computer, or the bargain store, or B&M, or Boots, or whatever it is. People would quite literally think they were going to die if they didn't get out to spend money on the Lord's Day. But this is a sign between you and God. There is, that God is Lord. Isn't it funny how so many people take Sunday as, in quotes, a family day? What do they be doing on Saturday? I know there are some shift work. There's some people that work shifts. John works, is going to be working shifts again. And yes, that means that you don't get a Saturday off and a Sunday off every week, but maybe you'll get another day off every week. I understand that, and it is the way the world is working right now. But whenever you completely ignore God on the day that he set aside, the Lord's Day, it's called Resurrection Sunday, and that's why we meet on the Lord's Day, not the Sabbath anymore. No, if you want to meet on the Sabbath, that's fine. I'll make sure you get a set of keys. You can let me know how the service goes. Or even better, just call up bbcib.com on your phone and listen to the services that were uploaded there previously. A lot of people say, oh, God's outmoded. Don't need God anymore. And yet, if you go up to home base, you can buy at least two idols there, one of the Hindu gods, or you can buy a Buddha, and you can set it in your garden. And you can spit in the face of God. That gives you Christian values, that gives you the freedoms to do literally whatever you want in this country, and you can worship a God that comes from a country where people's freedoms are greatly inhibited. Well, that's entirely up to you, but that's what people are doing. And you can buy them in Tesco's, or in the entryway, at least I've seen them there. You can buy an angel, and you can put that up there. The Lord said, you shouldn't be talking to angels, you talk to me, and I send angels to look after you. People are always going to worship their God. Many years ago, when I was young and stupid, I think I was 18 or 19, still very young and still very stupid, I actually spent 3 or 4 years in the Union Theological College in Belfast as a lodger, whilst I went and studied computer science and physics and mathematics at Queen's. And I remember all the boys from the Presbyterian Church, because this is what Presbyterian ministers used to do. They would get into somebody's room after having filled the bath half full with cold water and grab them and threw them into the bath just for the crack. Never happened to me, thankfully. But it happened to a number of them. But anyway, a few of them came in and they thought they would talk to the pagan. They said, well, Mark, where's your Bible? And the thickest, biggest book that I had on my desk was a book about physics. And I said, there's my Bible. That's how stupid I was. If you were to speak to someone today, they might say, sport is my God. I will be worshipping at the feet of my God from 11 o'clock on Sunday morning till 1 o'clock, and the first match will be over. And then there's an afternoon service that starts at 3 and ends at 5, and there's an evening service that starts at 7 and ends at 9. And people think, you go to church 3 times on a Sunday? You get my idea? Some people are really dedicated. They will make sure that the TV subscription is paid, or they will make sure that their car has all the spoilers and the lowered wings and the, what do you call that paint? Color shift paint and tinted windows and all the wee LEDs underneath it, and then it would spend fortunes. And they will spend ages of time talking about these things. Or computers. I used to spend fortune buying computer parts and updating the computer. And I would talk about computers and I would say how wonderful it is to have a cutting-edge computer. My wallet never said that, but I used to say it. Everybody worships their God with tithes, with offerings, and with time. So where is the God? Where's the foundation of the Christian character that society needs to survive and grow? People might say, well, sir, society's doing rightly. We've been drifting further and further away from God, and we are doing well. Honestly, in the 20 years, the 18 years that I was at Desmond's, and I know I have shared this with some of you before, but one of the guys, I came in at the bottom rung in the ladder, and one of the other rungs in the ladder was showing me around all of the different offices and explaining, this is Jerry and this is Bridget and this is Derek and so on and so forth. We're going down to the sample unit. There's a girl down there that's been living with a fella. They're not married, but don't be saying anything. Don't say anything. It's a bit embarrassing. And 18 years later, as I was leaving the company, there was a young girl in her early 20s who had just given birth to twins. And I was glad that the mother and the children were fine. But she'd broken up another family to do that. She'd shacked up with a man maybe 10 years her senior who already had a family. And everybody was crowding around saying, oh, it's so wonderful. And do you know what? The people that are given over, people that love pleasure and thrills and gathering stuff to themselves, for people that don't want any consequences, that life is wonderful. But I'm going to tell you something. It only exists between their 2 ears, because there are always consequences for actions. Maybe not today, but down the road, there's always consequences. Where's the space? What has happened to the space that was that God asked to be set aside so that people could get right, people could, for the next week, fly right because they sat in the presence of God, and God, maybe nothing to do with the service, but reached down and just tapped somebody on the shoulder and said, do you remember you do X, Y, and Z? Well, maybe you shouldn't be doing X, Y, and Z. Just ask the pastor what the Bible says. Or here are the Bible verses that are to do with that thing that you have been concerned about. Maybe you should think about that. Where is that in this present day? People don't know that the Lord is God. You think he's a fairy tale to keep little children right? You think he's a place that there's, his house is a place that you can go and put at the bottom of your CV and say, oh, I go to church. I go to McDonald's. Well, I haven't gone for a while, but going to McDonald's or going to church and not make any more Christian than going to McDonald's to turn into a hamburger. Get and see if it makes you a Christian. Where is it? Where is the nudge that people need to get closer to God? Where is it? I'm going to tell you. It's put upon at every turn. You go down to Tesco's, you can go in and buy all the drugs you need to kill yourself stone dead. You can buy cigarettes, you can buy painkillers, you can buy alcohol, you can even flavor it so that it tastes good as you kill yourself by inside. You can do that. You can walk to the magazine rack and you can experience homosexuality. You can experience pornography or any of the facets of the LGBT lifestyle. You can read books about fitness and you can see naked men stand on the front cover flexing the muscles, or the same with semi-naked women. Even in the women's magazines, they're encouraging flirting and adultery and infidelity. Where is the knowledge of God? And yet, I think there were a couple of very interesting videos that were released onto the internet there a month or so back during the season of Ramadan for the Muslim, where Muslims that worked in either Sainsbury's or Asda or Tesco's, they were filming a man eating his lunch in the staff room and saying, "Look at you feed stuff in your fat face." And the fellow said, "I actually feel a little bit bad about that." Where was the outcry? Oh, let's promote Islam. Let's promote immorality. Let's promote godlessness. You need to know. When you take away real, honest, to goodness, faith in the God of the Bible, you are quite literally killing one third of your life. You are starving it to death. You have a body, you have a spirit and a soul, and when you stop feeding your spirit and soul, it will wither and die. And the world, for all its beauty and all its colour, will all disappear, and it will be a drudge through this life. When the good is taken away, badness, evil, wickedness will rush to fill that vacuum. Isn't there an old saying that if you don't teach your children right, the streets will teach them what is right? And I am sure moms and dads are a lot more loving with their children than the streets are. Worship in every God is encouraged in this time of diversity, except the God of the Bible. Isn't it interesting? The people that have called for reason, for patience, for taking a moment to think, the most reasonable God in the pantheon of gods that people worship is also the one that is not welcome. Interesting. Diversity, equity, and inclusion exists for everyone except the Christian. It's worth remembering things. Before we go any further, you need to know that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And over the next 20 or so verses of the scriptures, it explains how he made everything. He called it up. He demanded it into existence. God made it all. It's his. Nobody else made it. You and I, Norman, me stand up and say, "Well, we made this church. We made it what it is today." Then God will say, "But you used the timber and the stone and the cement and the steel that I put in the earth to do it. Good for you, mind you, but I actually made all of the materials that went into the making of the church. You just borrowed them for a little bit." Everything here is God's. Yes, the devil has the rule over it for a little while, but everything here is God's. And if you think for a moment, if anybody thinks for a moment, that we are just going to run roughshod over everything and everyone in the face of this world and go to a nirvana state of afterlife and there be no consequences for our bad behavior or indeed our rejection of his son, you're kidding yourself. Many people, does anyone remember a fellow by the name of Noah? And I'm not talking about the Noah of the Bible, I'm sure there's other Noahs out there. And the world got so bad, and it spread so far. Every single thought that came into people's heads was bad. And we know that from the only man who could, God Almighty, who told Noah. And God destroyed the world, but he made a space for those that loved him on the ark. If we skip forward a few hundred years to the redemption of the children of Israel from Egypt. Do you remember that? In the book of Exodus, well worth a read. We read about the 400 years that the children of Israel were in Egypt, lauded as saviors and then treated as guests, then citizens and then slaves. And treated awfully. And every single one of the gods that the Egyptians worshipped got a good old hiding from the God of the Bible. And it was demonstrated to the Egyptians that the God of the children of Israel is more powerful than the gods of the Egyptians. I even remember a battle in the Old Testament where one of the enemies of the children of Israel, they came together and they had a scrap, and I think they were scrapping up on the hills in the mountains, and the children of Israel won, and word got around that, did you ever come across a sore loser? They only won because we fought them on the mountains. If we fought them in the valleys, we would win. And so God said, we're going to fight them in the valleys, and I'm going to beat them for you. And that's exactly what happened. If we were to look on to Sodom and Gomorrah, people that have departed so far, even from the very first commandment in the Bible, to go forth into all the world and multiply and replenish the earth, that they were abusing children and they were up to all sorts. God destroyed them all. Even after them being warned, God destroyed them all. Except for those that loved him, his wife and two girls. As we read on into the days of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, he gave Israel the kicking of its life. And he took everything off them that was shiny and wasn't nailed down. Took it all. And God said, judgment's coming for you, my boy. And he took his mind away for 7 years. And at the end of the 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar looked up and worshipped the God of the Bible. He changed. And the kingdom lasted into the next generation. All of these people went against what God laid down, treated his people awfully, and all suffered the consequences. I could guarantee you that each and every one of them knows who God is. But friends, the Bible does not stop there. The Bible doesn't tell us half a story. If you were to read in the book of Revelation from chapter 6 right the way through to chapter 16, you can read about the 21 punishments, the 21 judgments, the seed judgments, the vile judgments, and the bowl judgments. All the way through there, that take every one of the things that we worship today, that we look to for our salvation, that we worship as our gods, and spanks them thoroughly. Diseases brought about by lifestyle choices, sores and things like that. The military even turning against the population. It talks about, I think, a quarter of the world's population being killed by the military. False religion, as one of the very, the fourth of the four horsemen, I do believe. Even nature goes against people. How many people are out hugging trees and driving I kid you not, there was at least one Tesla on the road this morning. I saw it. I didn't hear it, mind you. And they're driving an electric car, which costs nearly twice as much to run as a bog standard diesel or petrol car. And they're worshiping the world. I'm doing my bit. I'm helping to save the earth. The whole of the earth turns against man with the earthquakes. The animals go bonkers and attack people. False religion, the military. Even meteorites, people that look to space for our salvation. There talks about a star called Wormwood falling to the earth and poisoning the waters of the world. Giant hailstones, awful heat, droughts, even technology. I remember, this is how good my eyes used to be, whenever G's used to sit significantly closer to the Ross Downing Road, I could actually read the papers as I was pulling into G's. And one of the newspapers said, technology will save us. And yet, technology is going to be used to enslave us in these 7 years that these 21 judgments are taking place. And eventually people get what they want. They get to worship the devil and do whatever they like. And you know what happens when a kid sits down and eats a pound bar of chocolate and has a bottle of lemonade and then maybe has some ice cream and then somebody gets it. They throw them up in the air a few times and then give them back to their mummy and daddy. What happens? They throw up everywhere, they've a bad stomach, they've made an awful mess. And that's exactly what's going to happen here to everybody that refuses to admit that the Lord is God. Now you would think, with all of the stuff that's in this book, it's happening right now, you would think that people would say, hold on there a wee second. How come it is that all of these souls that hate God so much and oppose him at every turn, the best that they are doing is fulfilling God's word? Not as well, because God doesn't want for people to die and go to hell, but they are fulfilling his word. You would think that they would say, maybe this guy's a bit smarter than we think. Maybe he knows a bit more than we do. Maybe he can do actually all of the things that are in the Bible. So you're telling me that God can look up and down time the way we walk in and out through different doors in a building? Absolutely, and maybe even with less effort than that. You would think that people would say, I wouldn't stand a chance against that guy. Why would I have him as my enemy? Whenever he has reached out the hand of friendship to me my whole life, why would I do that? Like so many in the Bible, when faced with irrefutable proof that there is a God, so many of them say, what must I do to be saved? How do I avoid that? It really is straightforward. You just tell God you're sorry enough about your sins to change and trust in his son Christ Jesus as your Savior. In Isaiah 45 and Romans 14 and Philippians chapter 2, this is what God said, Old Testament and New. I have sworn by myself, and the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Or in the New Testament says, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everyone is going to understand someday that the Lord, that God is God Almighty. The Lord is God. Everyone will bow the knee. I'm going to tell you something, friends. It is easier to do this
Lord, have mercy on me, sinner. It's easier to do that than it is to be forced to your knees by a couple of big lads before you get a kick in, isn't it? Has anyone here ever seen the documentation of prisoners being brought in and two big lads with guns kicked the knees out from underneath them and forced them down into a position of subjugation and humility? Which one would you rather be doing? Would you rather be admitting that God is Lord and His presence is a friend? Or would you rather be forced to your knees as an enemy of God before your, as a fellow says, before your judgment is due? Some will bow the knee as a defeated enemy of God, and others will bow the knee as a child of the God that loved them and saved them. I'm going to tell you something, friends. You do not want to be forced to your knees facing God as an enemy and having to admit whether you love Him or not. You are God. I know you're God. I know you've created everything. I know, yeah, because we are where we are right now. We're at the great white scene of judgment. There's the lake of fire over there. There's all the people that have rejected Him behind me. And I've seen you throwing people into the lake of fire. I know you're God, but I hate you. People's going to be like that. Just because He wanted everybody saved. And He says there's a set of standards. And you have to be born again. Salvation's free. Jesus paid it all. All you need to do is ask Christ to be your Savior. Hell is also free. You don't have to do a single thing to get there. Everybody is held in that way unless they take the detour through Jesus Christ. Meet Him as a friend. Understand that He is God, and it took a great God and a great work to save souls. Make it yours. Just ask Him. Gain everything with God or lose everything without Him. I am glad I met God 35 years ago. 35 years ago. I got saved in a wee timber frame building, not much bigger than this, out in the fellowship hall on a stacking chair beside a wall-mounted electric heater. Never had to get saved again. Had to pull my socks up a few times and had to straighten myself out a few times, but I never had to get saved again. And I am thankful for it. I'm thankful I have a God that loves me and gave His life for me. And I know He's God, because in all the 35 years that I have been saved, God has never once come to me and said, "Mark, I'm having a real problem here. Mark, I need you to settle the trouble in my soul over all the people that are going to hell." God has never come to me with that or anything like that. I'm going to tell you something, friends. I have had to go before Him many, many times and empty my heart, and many, many times He has answered those prayers. He is God. You should know and understand that He is God. You see, the roof in this church, the walls in this church, are proof that there is a God. They could not have been done without Him. God loves you, and He wants the very best for you. And He provides every reason and every bit of wisdom that you will ever need to come to that conclusion. I pray that you take the moment to reason with Him and ask Him, and just admit you're a sinner to Him and ask Him to save your soul. And even if you're saved, you're not perfect. Certainly not perfect. There's a reason in the Lord's Prayer why it says, "Give us this day our daily bread," because we need it every day. He loves you the best and wants the best for you. But He leaves it aside and goes up to you. God bless you.
Complex. It's a finished book.
Let's take our hymn books and we'll go back to saved. As soon as I find the number for it, I will pass it on to you. 247, I think it is. 247. A bunch of good old hymns all together. It's like a bunch of grapes or blackberries. 247. If you're able, turn there and stand with me as we sing Saved. Let's pray and then we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this little bit of time we set aside. Please bless it to us and see us safely home as we head our separate ways. And Lord, bless us and keep us and help us, Lord, at every turn. Don't be done with us, Lord. And Lord, I pray the same for all of our brothers and sisters across the world. Please, Lord, work in all our hearts and minds and help us to be a help to folks. We love you and thank you. And we ask all of these things, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, according to God. Amen. Folks, God bless you. Shake hands. We are dismissed.